trust God. There is no doubt about it. He is faithful. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will be faithful to you. Now, I'm bringing you a message today that is imperative. To start the new year, take heed, therefore, how you hear. I'm trying to get this out as quick as I can. This is Monday, the third day of January. I want you to take heed how you hear. I don't know whether you ever heard of the man by the name of Jose Arguelles, who gave us a calendar 25 years ago, and he said the Crystal Kingdom would come to pass in the year 2012. He called for a paradigm shift by the way people think. And I'm telling you, America has gone through the fire of change until the paradigm shift has occurred. You just about can find nobody that thinks the old fundamental way. The Bible is the pure, infallible Word of God. You don't change it. You don't alter it. You don't have to pick around it. You can't use imagination to interpret it. It's plain. It's simple. You've got to take the Bible like it is. What it says is what it means. What it says is what it means. Now, if God uses a parable, you understand the parable. But you do not change the meaning of the parable. It is meant what the parable means. When God tells us about New Jerusalem, describes the city, Jesus called it a place. John said he saw it. That settles it. It's a city. It's a marvelous city. You don't want to miss being in that city of New Jerusalem. It's the dwelling place of the bride of Jesus Christ for eternity. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. Now let's go and hear this sermon. I want to pray first and ask the Holy Spirit to speak deep to you, to make real and manifest in your heart and mind the things that God wants you to hear. Father, I pray for my friends across the world, an audience that is indeed extremely large. I don't really know how large, but I just trust you to use this sermon to change lives. Don't let anybody that hears this sermon miss it. Let them hear what the truth is. And I pray that it will go far and wide for thy glory and thy kingdom. Your name be honored, Lord, not the name of Joe Chambers. We want your name to be exalted. We want your name to be lifted high and raised like an anthem. And we want the world to know that there's a name that's called Jesus. That is indeed the greatest name there is. Make yourself real, Father. Make known your power. Make known your beauty. Make known your authority, Father. Make known your authority. We want men to hear what you are saying. We want men to hear the words of truth that will alter their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't miss the radio program this Saturday. You know, you can go right on the internet and hear it live at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. That's Eastern Standard Time. Or you can come later and hear it in archives, and that'll be 7-11 as long as until Jesus comes. Hopefully, it'll be right there for you to listen. God bless you. May the joy of the Lord be your strength is my prayer. Let's go to the sanctuary. Let's hear the Word of God. To hear these words from the Lord. These are trembling words. These are words that really stirred my soul when the Spirit of God, and I was crying out for the message. It kind of came slow this week. Sometimes the sermon doesn't come like that, you know, and you wait on it and you cry out to God for it. And I don't mount this pulpit until I know I've got something from God. And if you wonder why I'm so anxious for you to hear it, is because it's from the Lord. And the Bible said, what he sends will not fall. It will prevail. It will bring forth results. And I believe that. Let's read together. Luke 8 and verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You got to hear that again. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Man, if I saw that this past year, I saw things that I had suspected something was wrong, and suddenly it all came into the open, and you could see it as clear as day. God knows, and you must know, nothing can be hid. Now, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. That's my title this morning. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whatsoever, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now this verse really shook me up. I want to read it again. 18 now, this is Luke 8. Take heed therefore how you hear. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Brother Marlon, I never seen that before. Even that which he seemeth to have. Don't really have it, but he seemeth to have it. The church world is full of people that seem to have certain things from God. But you look at them all the time you know them, and there's something about you that makes you tremble. You wonder. You keep seeing the carelessness. You keep seeing the sign that something is missing. You can't put your finger on it. You don't have a right to be a judge. So you just have to leave it with God. But here is a picture of good ground that bringeth forth good things, because it is good and honest in heart. Let me say in beginning this morning, before you're seated, that good seed will not produce in bad soil. Good seed will not produce in bad soil. Buy the best seed in town and sow it in hard clay dirt with no fertility, and I promise you it won't produce anything. Or sow it in a soggy, wet place, and it will rot and consume away. So good seed cannot produce unless it's got good ground. Well, nobody doubts the seed. It is absolutely perfect. The seed is pure. And this morning I want to preach on take heed, therefore, how you hear. Take heed. Get serious about what you hear. You say, Brother Chambers, are you defending your preacher? No. I'm talking about what you hear from all sources. I'm talking about what you hear on a cassette or a DVD or a CD or from Brother Marlon or from another Sunday school teacher or from a preacher that may come through here to preach. Take heed how you hear. What a text. What a title. I don't know about you, but I like it. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Father, help me this morning. I present to you a very needy preacher man. Absolutely imperfect. Absolutely dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost. More hungry than ever to himself. Tremble before the word. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. You may be seated. As I preach this morning, I bid you to listen carefully and let somehow God talk to you about how you hear. And let's begin this new year. What a sermon to begin 2012 with. This is going to be an eventful year.
This is going to be an eventful year. 25 years ago in 1987, a man by the name of Jose Arguelles, he's a South American, he's a guru with the New Age people and the organizations of heathenism and paganism. And this guru, Jose Arguelles, set 25 years to bring America and the world to what he labeled as the Crystal Kingdom. The Crystal Kingdom. He said it started in 87. There had to be this complete kind of re-education of the world. There had to be a paradigm shift. We had to teach people how to think about the old things in a new way. We had to teach everybody to have a new idea and a new way of thinking. An education began, and it's been very vivid in almost every realm you follow, to prepare the world for the Crystal Kingdom. And now we have come to that year. 2012, the year of the Crystal Kingdom. The year when the evil one will take dominance of this world and rule it in a kind of post-Christian thinking and post-Christian acting and post-Christian living. The year of the New Ages. The year of the Crystal Kingdom. Well, this is developing. It is certainly at hand. Jose Arguelles was not some nut. He was a very noted New Ager, a very noted writer and author, a very noted spokesman and promoter. And he believed in that year of 87, and I remember studying it with all I had, understanding it the best I was capable. I've talked about it at different times, but not much for some years now. The year of the Crystal Kingdom, 2012. Now, for the Crystal Kingdom to happen, for the Christian Kingdom to occur, there's got to be a rapture. And they've got to get the troubled souls out of their way. Those who are stuck in the mud. Those who are stuck in the old trenches of the Bible. Those who will not accept the new Christ. Those who will not accept the new music. Those who will not accept the new way of thinking. Those who will not become part of the Crystal Kingdom have to be removed. And they talk about us being removed out of their way. They call it the seed that is corrupt. The corrupt seed has to be removed. Well, I believe that they're right. The rapture's got to occur, and the believers of the Bible, fundamentalists, have got to be removed for the Crystal Kingdom to develop. Well, how do we deal with these kind of things occurring and these kind of things happening? How do we deal with a world that's in such a state of mind? I tell you how we deal. We deal by taking heed, therefore, how we hear. Not what we hear so much as how we hear what we hear. You notice he said that, didn't you? He didn't say what you hear. Now, although we should take heed what we hear, but take heed how you hear. You can hear the truth all your life and never accept it. You can sit in a church full of the Holy Ghost and spend eternity in a devil's hell. You can listen to preaching and go on in your own way and never be changed. Or you can let the Bible and the Word of God change your life. Now, let's talk this morning about how you hear. But first, let's talk about the Bible, the Word of God, how we hear the Word of God. Every word of this Bible is true. The Bible says of itself, the word is forever settled in heaven. Jesus made the statement, not a jot or a tittle will pass away till everything in this book be fulfilled. The Bible says, my word shall not go forth void, but shall accomplish that purpose whereunto I send it. I would like to read that to you so you know it isn't just Brother Chambers thinking. I want to read it to you. It's in the book of Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in that thing, or the thing, whereto I sent it. Whereto I sent it. Now, the Bible cannot be less than fulfilled. Nothing of the Bible can be made void. Nothing of the Bible can be removed and removed from the world scene and the actions and the events and everything that's happening. Whether you believe it or not, this Bible is controlling the whole development of this present world. Even Jose Arguelles could do nothing if God did not dictate in His Word that darkness would come, that the Antichrist would appear, that a dark period of tribulation would occur on this earth. The Bible is being perfectly fulfilled. And we must take heed what and how we hear. Now, when you know the Bible is absolutely pure, it's absolutely perfect, it's absolutely right in every detail. Wow! What a beautiful thing. Now, as I think about that, the Bible is, I've preached that enough. I won't linger here. I just want you to know the Bible is the infallible Word of God. But there are so few today that tremble at the Bible. You look at people, you talk to people, you quote Scripture to them, and they can take almost anything but quoting the Bible. You start quoting the Bible, that's what makes people angry at you many times. You go in a place and start quoting the Scripture. Some of our young people went up and sung at the bank. And they seemed to think everything was okay until they began to sing about Jesus. And the Bible was involved in their singing. And then suddenly they wanted them out of there. We live in a day that the Bible is not accepted as the infallible Word of God. Very few preachers believe that this Bible is accepted as the Word of God. A man called yesterday on the Open Bible Dialogue, and he was listening to Rush Lombard some time ago, and somebody brought up the book of Revelation, and Rush, according to this man, said, well, most people in the church today don't believe that the book of Revelation ought to be in the Bible. Well, he was right. I don't know what he believes. But it doesn't really matter, because I can tell you that much of the church world, the majority of the church world, does not accept that book called Revelation. I was thinking yesterday, if you don't accept the book of Revelation, you know it was written by John, don't you? And you know it was the same John that wrote the book of St. John. Did you know that? The book of Revelation was written by the same man who wrote the book of St. John. And the book of St. John is held at the highest when it comes to the Lordship and deity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, how do you accept one book if you don't accept the other? They contradict themselves. They contradict their own thinking. They contradict their own minds. Because I'm here to tell you, the book of Revelation is the Word of God. And I tremble at it. I tremble before the book of Revelation. I tremble before the whole Word. I literally have been praying that God would so change my life and sanctify me in my soul, in my inner person, in the very centrality of my life, that God would so sanctify me and set me apart that I would have an attitude of trembling before the Bible like I've never had. Oh, I want to tremble before this holy book. I want to take heed how I hear when I read this holy Bible. I want to take heed how I treat every promise and every great truth of the Bible. And I want to bring it to you with such a devotion and such an abandonment before God of my own soul that there shall be no doubt that I tremble at the Word. Oh, what it would happen if this whole church would begin to tremble at the Bible. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, God doesn't want us to tremble at His Word. Well, then let me read you what He says. For all of those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. and trembleth at my word. Isaiah 66:2. Unto this man will I look, he said, even to him that is poor. I don't mean poor money-wise, but poor in spirit. Have a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. You see, when he said, take heed how you hear, that's exactly what he was talking about. He was dealing with the same idea that Isaiah here shares. Take heed how you hear. Don't just hear the Bible as a history book. Don't just hear the Bible as a great book of wonderful teachings and wonderful things. But you take the Bible as the infallible Word of God. And you tremble before the Bible. You tremble before the Holy Word. This very morning, I stand here asking God by the Holy Ghost to move through this congregation right now and to bring your heart to the place that you would literally tremble at the Word of God. Most preachers get in the pulpit and they don't even tremble at the Word of God themselves. I get amazed at the childlikeness that I see in so many preachers of our generation. I get amazed at the lack of that devotion that drives them to their knees and drives them to cry out for God to give them an anointing that's straight from heaven, that's straight by the Holy Ghost. I don't want to preach nothing in this pulpit but what God gives me. Oh, that's it, Brody. Somebody slip a hand up with me, would you? By the Holy Ghost, Father. Help us to teach people to tremble at the Word of God. Help us to teach people to tremble at the Word of God. Somehow let something happen in the Paul Creek congregation that we will be known in the city of Charlotte as a congregation that trembles at the Word of God. It's not enough just to preach it on the radio and on the internet. But we as a congregation need to reach the point and place that we tremble at God's Word. That we take it so serious that when we hear it, it just does something to our soul. It changes us. It awakens us. Isaiah said this twice. He spoke in the same chapter of trembling at the Word. But I like that passage. I believe that God wants us to tremble at the Word of God. Work out your own salvation. The Bible said with fear and trembling. Fear, that's a New Testament verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you understand. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Did you know? An honest and good heart. This is the person who hears the Word. Even before the Word begins to do its work, you gotta have an honest and good heart. You gotta have a heart that literally accepts the Bible as the infallible Word, an honest and good heart. And that's the kind of person that the Word begins to do a deep and powerful work. And he goes on in the next verse and says, don't light a candle. Talking about your life. Don't light a candle and put it under a covering, a bushel, it says in one of the texts. Don't light a candle. Don't let God set a fire in you and then hide that fire from those around you. Let it shine. Let it show. I don't know about you, but I'm not embarrassed by people seeing Jesus in me. I'm embarrassed if they don't see Jesus in me. I'm not embarrassed because they think I'm a little bit over the pale. I got family that thinks I'm over the pale. I've dealt with that ever since I got saved. Wonderful family members that love me. But I'm over the pale. Somebody said to me yesterday, speaking of one of my dear loved ones, how they seem to be nervous around me. I said, that's been true all these years. I doubt it will ever be any different. You know, if you're full of the Bible, and you love the Bible, and you talk the Bible, you're not going to be accepted by everybody. Make up your mind. Quit being bothered by it. Just make sure it's not your fault. That's something I'm working on deeply. Making sure there's such a deepness, an attitude, such a warmth, such a purity, a carefulness in how I say things. I can be over the pale. I know that. I don't see how anybody can be full of God and not be over the pale sometimes. Do you? I don't say anybody can be full of God and not once in a while get over enthusiastic. You just do, don't you, Brother Jim? When you really get full of God, you get a little enthusiastic. But work on it and keep it in balance. Keep it in check. Keep it full of the Holy Ghost. Keep it full of the love of God. But let's get so full of God that we tremble at His Word. Take heed how you hear the Word of God. Now listen to me. Most of you, many of you here have been hearing me a long time. I know. Don't say it, please. Some of you just love it when somebody else comes through and does the preaching. I guess. If you do, that's all right. I don't mind. I don't blame you. I get tired of hearing me too. How many of you ever get tired of hearing me? Raise your hand. You don't dare. Now why? I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to be mean to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's understandable. It's understandable. But the truth of God's Word is so wonderful. Do you understand these are eternal truths? Do you understand every word in this Bible is from heaven? Do you understand every word in this Bible is as eternal as the sun and as the earth? Do you understand the Word of God is as much a part of the divine as Jesus is? Jesus is the divine Word living, but this is the divine Word written. And it all blends together. That's a holy book. That's a holy book. That's a holy book. You study back in past revivals and past periods of church history when great things happened, and you'll find they happened because the people began to tremble at the Word of God. The only thing that's going to change America is for people to start trembling at the Word of God. That's the only thing going to change America. There's nothing else can do it. Singing can't do it. Even great preaching can't do it. I mean, whatever it is, if they don't tremble at the Word, it's how they hear that changes their lives. It's how they hear that makes a difference in them. And it's so very important. The Word of God is without failure. It's infallible. It's incredible. It's absolutely divine. If you don't tremble at it, you're treating God less than you ought to treat Him. I beg of you this morning, learn to tremble at the Word of God. How many of you would like to learn afresh to tremble at the Word of God? Would you raise your hand? Now you understand, when you raise your hand for this, it can't happen just because you say it. It's going to be a work of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be a work of the deep Holy Ghost, the great Spirit of God. Oh, that we may learn to tremble at the Word of God. For nothing is secret. See, a minister, and I've known several in my 50-some years, they seem to be so real. They seem to be such great preachers. But then you learn that for years they've had this hidden thing, this secret thing. And you would at times sense something's not right. But I wouldn't dare judge. And so you put it out of your mind. And then suddenly the day comes and the veil gets pulled back. And you look and you say, oh God, why couldn't I see that? But in reality, He just answered why you didn't say that. Because it seemeth to be that they were thus and thus. It seemeth to be that they had this and that. It seemeth to be. But listen, what I'm preaching to is you this morning. I'm not trying to figure out that person out there that you may think this about. I'm trying to figure out us. How many of us are things that we seem to be that we're really not? How many of us seem to be so consecrated to God, but when the chips are down, we decide our own every time? How many of us that are just not what we seem to be? I've been guilty of not being all, at least, of what I seem to be. But that day's got to be gone. That day's got to be over. God is bringing us to a place in this generation that everything is coming to its fulfillment. Everything's coming to its culmination. There's not much less left to happen yet.
Oh, there's not much yet to happen. It's taking place so fully. Everything in the Middle East. Everything in the countries of the world. And now we see America in the greatest stress and the greatest state of compromise and the greatest state of forsaken in the Bible and the name of Jesus and the morality of God. We've never seen America in the shape it's in before. The day is coming. I've been reading in the news. I believe it's one state that just passed a rule that has to do with making contraceptives available to everybody in a certain bracket and a certain category. And one state after state is voting for something else that's vulgar and vile. And you say, what in the world is happening? You listen to politicians and they don't seem to have any common sense anymore. Recently, the Army, the American military, passed a ruling that men who were involved in bestiality would not be thrown out of the armed services. Bestiality is now an acceptable lifestyle within the military of America. Oh, you probably didn't even know that. Those kind of things pass under the screen anymore. And nobody knows how to talk about them. And how does somebody say something as vile as that is? How does somebody say something as vulgar as it is to even think about it? But that's what's happening in our world. I'm telling you, friend, you better take heed how you hear. You better understand we are coming down to the culmination and the end of all things. And everything that can be shaken is going to shake like you've never seen it shake. But you've got to be one of those that refuses to shake. Hallelujah. How many can say this morning, I'm not going to be compromised? Raise your hand with me. I'm not going to be compromised. I'm not going to let down the standard of old time Christianity. I'm not going to forsake the way of holiness and godly living. Hear me, church. If you ever cleaned up your life, you ever got worldliness out of your life, you ever brought your dress habits into a great state of purity and holiness, it's time to do it. You've ever literally shook at the Word of God. I can't move people who don't tremble at the Bible. It's impossible. I can't move you. The reason I can't move some people is they don't tremble at the Bible. They don't tremble at what that book says. They've got a kind of a careless view of the Bible. This is the generation that has a careless view of the Bible. The Bible said that truth has fallen in the streets. Can you affirm to that? Truth has fallen in the streets. The Bible said, shall he find salvation on the earth when he comes? That's not the exact words. Shall he find faith on the earth when he comes? Sometimes, Sister Linda, I wonder, will he find faith? But if I'm here, I gotta say, yeah, he's gonna find faith. Cause I'm gonna square my shoulders and I'm gonna stand upright, Brother Jason, and I'm gonna hold on to the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna hear what the book says. How do you hear? How do you hear the Word of God? How are you gonna treat the Word of God? Are you gonna treat it with great reverence? I love that verse. Verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. Now listen, for whatsoever or whosoever hath, to him shall be given. What's he talking about? You see, it's the hearing of the Bible and the total obedience of the Bible that gives you profit in the Christian life. You've got to delight in the Bible if you're going to grow in the Lord. The book of Psalms says it plainly, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord do they meditate day and night. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth their fruit in their season. Their leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever they doeth shall prosper. Hallelujah. You can be one that prospers in your Christian walk. That prospers in the way you live your Christian life. Whatever God calls you to do, teach the young people, young man. Or sing in the choir, young lady. or play a musical instrument, or be a witness on the street, or be a part of the ladies' auxiliary, or be a part of the team helping clean the building. It don't matter. Whatever God calls you to do, do it with all your heart. Take the Bible serious. Every one of you have got a calling from God on your life. He didn't call you just to be an absent person around the house of God. He didn't call you just to warm a pew. He called you to be busy in the kingdom of the Lord. A place of labor, a place of devotion, a place of dedication. I'm ready to be what God wants me to be. How about you? Oh, what can I do? Why don't you start being a soul winner? I don't know a better place. Brother Jim planned the music this morning right down my alley. You know, Brother Jim, I thought I'm going to call Brother Jim and tell him how I kind of want him to plan the music this morning. And immediately the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me ask him to take care of it. And so I prayed, and God did exactly. I didn't need to tell you nothing. That's the way it's supposed to be. God's called us to do the business of the King. I want to be a soul winner. I want to lead somebody to Christ. Get burdened for the lost. He's talking about that. Take heed how you hear. What can you hear? The Bible said you have been given the responsibility of the gospel. The gospel is in your hand. How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Did you know that Corinthians, Paul said, the first chapter of Corinthians, that God has chosen to save people through the preaching of the word. Somebody says most churches don't have any preaching no more. And most churches aren't leading anybody to heaven anymore either. Because it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. It's the preaching of the Word. I'm up here preaching because God wants to teach us all the way of His kingdom. He wants you to start trembling at the Word of God. If you're willing to tremble at the Word of God, I want you to stand as I finish this sermon. Would you? Would you stand up and give yourself for God's Holy Ghost to make you a man, a woman, a young person, a child that trembles at the Bible, that the Bible is so real to you that you take everything serious? It's not going to return void. It's coming back. Now, let me show you something. When he says the Word of God shall not return void, he isn't just talking about the positive sense. He's also talking about the negative sense. The Word of God goes and it does one of two things. It condemns or it justifies. Every time you hear a sermon, you are either condemned by that sermon or you are justified by that sermon. If you don't pay that sermon any attention, and you don't take it serious, and you don't weigh the Word of God with great clarity and carefulness, and you just let it pass over, some of you may leave this church this morning, and you won't remember what I preach when you get home. Because you don't tremble at the Word. God, help me to tremble. God, help me to tremble. Raise your hand if you want to join me. Holy Ghost, would you let your spirit move among this place? Would you let yourself move up and down these aisles, Holy Spirit, and touch our hearts so that we begin to tremble at the Word of God? So that we take this Bible so serious that nothing in it is ever treated lightly. Whatever you read today, tomorrow, whatever I preach, whatever's in this Bible, that's what you're going to be judged by. You think you're going to get by with this. And I've had people say to me, but God and I've got an understanding in that. His understanding is the Bible. And if your understanding is not the Bible, you don't have no understanding with God. The Bible is the final word. Lord, I give myself to tremble at the Word of God. I give myself to change everything about me until I have no will. You have no right with a will. God never gave anybody a will. There's nowhere in the Bible that anybody has ever had a will separate from God's will. Oh, you can take one, but it's always wrong. My will is His. And my desire is pleasing Him. I make no decisions. I should not make a decision that I don't seek His will. Now, will you listen as I close and we sing together? Listen carefully. I want you to hear it. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Take heed how you hear. You listen with all of your heart. Straighten your shoulders for a moment, will you? Kind of stand erect. Stand with some courage and say, I'm going to listen to that Bible every time I hear it. I read it. And I'm going to obey it. And I'm going to hear what that Bible says with all my heart. And I'm going to start doing what that Bible said. If the Bible tells you something not to do, then don't do it. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. If you don't honor them, you disobey God. You break a commandment. Oh, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's a sharp one. That not many people obey today. Listen, bring your life into such surrender to God that He can have you lock, stock, and barrel for His honor and for His glory. And start hearing everything in this Bible with every bit of your heart. Take your Bible and hold it with me, will you? Everything that's in this book is God's Word. Not a bit of it, Brother Ken, but God's Word. Oh, God, help Joe Chambers. Every time it's time to pray, and I open this old blessed book, and I begin to read, help me to tremble. Help me to tremble. Hallelujah. Let me hear it with all my heart. Let me hear what He's saying to me. Let me say, God, I'm going to obey that. I've never seen that before, but I'm going to obey that. Father, I didn't know You didn't want me to do that, but I can see You don't. I won't do that anymore. God, I didn't know You wanted me to do that. I see You do. I'm going to do it, God. Tremble at the Word of God. Do everything according to this book. This is the only book in the world that's perfect. This is the only book in the world that will be in the hands of God when He judges you. This is the only book that is pure, even in its purity and its exclamation points. It's pure. Not a jot or tittle shall pass. They'll all be fulfilled. Wow. What a way to live. What a way to live. Would somebody say with me, what a way to live. Right by the Word of God. Neither turning to the right or to the left. Neither going here or going there. The Bible said it, that settles it. It's not comfortable for me to do that. You don't go by comfort, you go by the Word of God. Oh, you tell me, Lord, I can't do this or that, and that's hard for me. No, it isn't. You just obey it, and He'll make it easy for you. Woo! Somebody say amen. Let's sing, Brother Jim. Hallelujah.
Hear me and
be blessed. Isn't that beautiful?
For I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind.
Come. My yoke is easy. Do you really believe that? Is His yoke easy? Give Him everything for His glory. Hallelujah. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Take my yoke. Reach and get that yoke right now, will you? Hang it around your neck. How many of you know what a yoke is? Can I see your hand? Let me just tell them what a yoke is. I was raised on the farm. And you'll have a cow that is determined to get through the fence. They'll go through the fence or they'll strip every gear. So you put a yoke on them. You take a cross beam, goes up past their head and hangs down, and it's a yoke. And when they start between the wires, the top catches the top wires and the bottom catches the bottom wires. And you can't get through. You've got a yoke on. Or she's got a yoke on, or he's got a yoke on. Well, that's what he says to you. Take the yoke and put it around your neck. Do you mind doing that with me? Let's just kind of do it together, would you? Take the yoke, the Holy Bible, and put it around your neck. And say, that's it. That's how I'm going to live. I'm going to live by the Word of God. You say, I don't know it. Then your responsibility is to learn it. You say, I'll get to heaven, I'll just tell God I didn't know that. He's going to say, what were you doing when you should have been reading my Word? That's why we have preachers, Sunday school teachers. You notice last Sunday, you won't hear. Brother Martin got to teaching, and he didn't even know where he was. It was 5 minutes after 12, and I'm standing up there waiting, and he's still teaching. And I finally just stood up and said, everybody please stand. And he took the note. You were smiling back there. I saw it all over you, sister.